morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. I said, we'll rejoice. He is risen. He's risen from the grave. So today is a day of rejoicing. You know, Jesus has overcome. He's risen from the grave, and we can rejoice. So I hope y'all have your Bibles near you. You know, this is Word of Life Church. We're still digging into the Word. If you have your Bibles near you, can you go to Mark chapter 16? I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16 today, because it's I'm going to be referring to these scriptures today. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone? The stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Soon then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. We can rejoice. You know, our hope in any given situation is Jesus. And we have much to shout about today and every day. He is alive. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your words of life, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that through these phone lines and internet lines, Father, I thank you for the anointing on your word. I thank you, Father, for the hungry ears, Lord, that hunger to hear what you have to say to them today. Lord, I thank you for hearts, Father, sold out to you, hungering for this time, Lord, just to be in your presence. We thank you, Father, this distance problem is no problem for you. You are there in everyone's home. So I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, you connect us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise and we give you honor. We say, have your way today, Lord God, through the airways, through the phone lines. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, you know, today is a day of celebration. We rejoice because Jesus is no longer in that grave. You know, you say, Pastor, are you hopeful even in this, you know, pandemic situation that we're facing? I say, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know how many of you tuned in for the Good Friday service, but if you did, you would have heard why I'm rejoicing in our current situation. I was able to share on Friday that, you know, something that I've never shared before, because basically we've never been faced with this situation like this before. But what I shared was several weeks ago, a number of us got together over the phone line. I'm glad you're on today, Prophetess Diana. You were part of our message on Good Friday. During the time that we got together with Prophetess Diana on the prayer line, on the phone line, she said something that just struck me, and I could not let it go. And this is what I shared on Good Friday. So many of you may not have been in on that teaching on Friday, but I want to just share this just briefly. She said, Corona in Spanish means crown. So, you know, her last name is Melendez. She knows Spanish. And I thought, how dare you, devil? This is a perverted crown. Kings and queens wear crowns. Royalty wears crowns. Crowns they're symbolic of a person's high status or achievement. They're a symbol of honor and authority. I immediately thought that the devil is trying to usurp authority that is not his. Because Jesus came here, he came to this earth to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:9. And so, you know, in Word of Life Church, we have dissected scripture over the years regarding this, how Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, and how he went to the cross. You know, why did he do that? He did that so that we wouldn't have to suffer with them. Sickness and disease are works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus paid for our sins, and he paid for all the result of sin, which includes sickness and disease. He bore the open wounds from that cat of nine tails that the Roman soldiers lashed at him during the scourging. And his flesh was ripped. It was ripped apart by those stripes on his body. You know, by his stripes, we are healed. He took those stripes so that we could be healed. 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. We said all sickness and disease is a curse of the law. And I praise God that Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law when he hung on that tree, when he hung on that cross. Coronavirus is a curse, and we are redeemed from it. That promise is written in Jesus's blood. If Jesus bore it for us, we don't have to have it. As heirs, we do have to enforce the will. The last will and testament of Jesus is found in the Bible. And in it, it says that Jesus redeemed us from all sickness and disease, all curses. That's Galatians 3:13. It says he has disarmed principalities and powers, and that he made a public spectacle over them when he triumphed over the cross, when he came up out of that grave. We celebrate Jesus's victory today. And it says in scripture that we have been seated in heavenly places of authority with Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and rules, might and dominion, and over every name that is named. Coronavirus has a name. And it's a perverted name. But that name must bow to the name of Jesus. We have authority over it because of what Jesus did at the cross. And because what God did to Jesus after the cross. He raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand of authority, where we have been seated as well, spiritually. That's why I have hope. That's why I'm rejoicing. Jesus already won the victory. He said, "It is finished." The victory came at a very high price. And we talked about that a little bit on Good Friday. We talked about the suffering that he experienced before and on the cross. Jesus came to die for us. And scripture says that there's no greater demonstration of love. There's no greater love than one lays down his life for his friends. Jesus did that for us. That was suffering. But the rejoicing came 3 days later when the angel came and rolled away that stone. And Jesus came walking out of that grave alive. Jesus accomplished what our Heavenly Father sent him here to do. And he did it for us because he loves us. Church, we got something to shout about. We have an inheritance that no virus, no demon in hell can take away from us. Holy Spirit sealed it when we accepted Jesus' payment for our sins and invited him into our hearts to be our Lord and our Savior. Read the will. Know what belongs to you. We have a big poster, a big poster board at our church that tells us some of the things that belong to us, that we've inherited in this last will and testament of Jesus. We've inherited eternal life. We've inherited health, healing, forgiveness, protection, deliverance, prosperity, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, wholeness and victory, raising from the dead power, a sound mind, authority over all the power of the enemy, righteousness. Read the will. You'll be encouraged. And enforce that will anytime the enemy tries to come and steal any of it away from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from who? Who will he flee from? You. Absolutely, you. He will flee from you. Believe it with every ounce of your being, church, because it's the truth. You know, people who are going through this pandemic without knowing what we know, you know, without having to calm their fears, I mean, that would be pretty frightening. They would have nothing to base hope on. You have to know the truth. The truth has a name. His name is Jesus. I was asked recently to share an Easter message on our local Christian radio station, WJCS. Those initials stand for Jesus Christ Saves. And apparently, several pastors were asked to give a word that could be used for a special segment that they'll be airing today between 12 and 5 o'clock. I was one of those invited, so I thought, well, I need to be here for you all at this time. So I asked the station manager if I could pre-record something and have it sent to him, and then he could decide if he wanted to use it or not. I don't know how many people were asked to contribute something, but I thought, okay, you know, I'll do it. And so I had a check with Pastor Ralph to see if he knew a way that it could be done. I didn't have a clue, but you know, Pastor Ralph, he knew exactly how to get it there. So I thought, you know, I might have to go to church, you know, to record it, or, you know, a sound room or something. But Ralph said, no, you can just use your phone. So I didn't know my phone could record, but we did it. We did it. And so, you know, with all of us being at home, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, in this time, you know, during this state of emergency, it was a challenge just to find a place in my home where it would be quiet enough to record. I don't have a recording studio in my room, in my home. Our house is, you know, not real big. It's small. Our daughter Kayla is working from home, you know, due to the virus situation. And so she had our dining room occupied. And so when she's on conference calls quite frequently, and so we need to be quiet, you know, in our home. And so, and we also have our kitty cat, which you met earlier, Clover. Her meows can get pretty loud. And so I selected one of our bedrooms to record from, only to hear the sounds of our neighbor's lawn service. They are making a lot of noise with their trucks, with their equipment, but I was able to get the message recorded, and Pastor Ralph sent it off. So, you know, we'll see if the recording was good enough that they'll be able to use that on WJCS today. But this is the thing. I had to think. I've never been asked to share anything on radio before. And today is Resurrection Sunday. It's a special day. It's an important day. And so our country is dealing with this pandemic, something we've never dealt with before. So I wanted to make sure that whatever it is I shared, that it would encourage the listeners through this challenging time that has been unprecedented. So I thought, God, you know, what do you want me to share? I've been pastoring now Word of Life Church since the fall of 2012. So I have several resurrection messages that I've presented over the years. But what should I be sharing, you know, at this time that would encourage people in the situation that we're in? And so my husband was nearby, and I asked him, I said, Gary, of all the Easter messages that I've shared over the years, is there any that have stood out to you? And there was no hesitation. He said, yes, the one where you proved that Jesus was who he said he was. So I thought about that. And then that picture that someone sent to me from Walmart during this pandemic, you know, the shelves that previously, you know, it wasn't empty shelves of, you know, with the hand sanitizer or the toilet paper rolls. It was the shelves that were bare that used to have the Bibles on them. And so that told me that people are searching. They're searching for truth during this critical time. They're seeking God. They're seeking answers. They want answers, and they need hope. So I decided to place the focus on the evidence that we have that reveals that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. He declared himself to be the Son of God, the one who was to pay for the sins of mankind so that we could receive forgiveness for our sins and receive eternal life with him. That's the very declaration that God Jesus convicted of blasphemy and eventually sent to the cross. So Jesus is either who he said he was or he lied. He's either the Son of the Most High God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the one to turn to in for help in a time of crisis, or he isn't. When people are facing a crisis, you know, when they're seeing their world being shaken and the things that they've trusted in not working for them, It's often during those times that people search for answers. They're looking for something that is a solid anchor for their fears and all the things that they're seeing going on all around them. They're searching for the truth. And thank God we have it, church. We've got God's word. We've got Jesus. We have the truth. But how does someone who is searching for the truth today determine whether Jesus is who he said he was or not? Is he the Son of God that he claimed to be? Is he the one that the scriptures talk about? Is he alive? And can we place our trust in him to help us through whatever it is we're going through? Whatever the challenges are in life. How do we, thousands of years after Jesus made that claim, how do we determine if he was who he said he was? The Son of God, the Deliverer, the Messiah, the one who God raised up from the dead. Well, ultimately, Christianity stands or falls on whether or not the tomb where Jesus was buried was empty and Jesus is alive. You know, in a court of law, the judge and the jury, they have to determine the truth about an event or a situation that they weren't present at either. And so what do? They call in eyewitnesses that were there at the event or who had knowledge about it. And they base their decision on the testimonies and the evidence presented. We have actual testimonies of eyewitnesses who saw the risen Lord after he had been scourged, crucified, dead, and buried. Their testimonies are written on the pages of our Bible. We have testimonies from his appearance after his resurrection to, I read this when we first opened up, the first person that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene. We read that in Mark 16:9. And she went and she told the disciples, but they didn't believe her yet. We have the testimony of the other women at the tomb that were there to anoint Jesus' body with the spices. If you look, turn in your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I want to start reading in verses 5 to 10. Matthew 28, verse 5. But the angel appeared and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word, his word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." They were to go and tell. That was their testimony, that they saw Jesus. Jesus also appeared to two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. That's found in Luke 24, verses 13 to 31. I'm not going to read all of these, but you can write down the references and you can spend some time, you know, looking at them yourself, reading about them. That was Luke 24, verses 13 to 31. Jesus also appeared to Simon Peter You can see that in Luke 24:34. He appeared also to all the disciples, minus Thomas, in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Excuse me. He also appeared to all the disciples, including Thomas, in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. If you could go in your Bibles, I want to read those, please. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. Actually, I'm going to read to 29. Okay, so now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." That's their testimony. So he said to them, this is Thomas, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus was talking about us there. Another appearance that that Jesus made was to James, and also to 500 men. That is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 6 and 7. And the disciples, he appeared to the disciples several times. I can give you those scriptures. Acts 1, verse 3, in Mark 16, 14 to 19, in John chapter 21, verses 4 to 14. He also appeared to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1 and 15, 8. So each of these people testified to seeing Jesus alive after he was crucified, dead, and buried. I haven't quoted from each of these scriptures at length to save time, but you can look them up on your own. You know, it's interesting to compare each gospel writer's account of the resurrection. But the evidence is clearly presented in the scriptures. These eyewitnesses saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. Their testimonies are in the scriptures for us to believe that the most incredible event in all of history actually happened. I encourage you, each of you, to look them up. Look up those scriptures. They will encourage you in your faith too, even today. You've got some time maybe, right? You know, as we cooperate with our president and spend some time in our homes, it's an awesome time to dig into God's word. But this is the thing that I shared that encouraged me in addition to those testimonies. I shared that for the broadcast for WJCS. If they choose to use, if it turned out okay for them. This is what I shared in addition to the testimonies that we see in the scriptures. It's how those disciples, it's how the ones who walk with Jesus and they saw the miracles, they heard his teachings. These were the very disciples that were hiding behind closed locked doors after the crucifixion. you know, for fear that they could be next. It's those very men that the women went to tell them about Jesus, you know, being alive immediately after his resurrection. The scripture says that they didn't believe the women. We read about that when we first opened up. The disciples didn't believe them. I just want to make a note here. It was the women who were out working. It was the women who were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus's body. These disciples, these men, they were hiding behind those locked, closed doors. They were scared. These scared, spiny, wimpy men, and the comparison in how they were then to how they later spent the rest of their lives boldly declaring that Jesus is alive, that he is the Son of God that he said he was. And they didn't love their lives unto death. They were willing to do that, knowing that it could cost them their very lives. You can read about their deaths in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a very good book. Each disciple, with the exception of John, died a martyr's death willingly. No one would die for something that they know is a lie. They were willing to die for what they knew to be true. They saw Jesus alive after his death, burial, and resurrection. And Thomas did too. You know, I am so thankful for Thomas. I'm so glad God had him written into those scriptures. We can relate with Thomas. You know, he doubted. He doubted until he could see the nail prints in his hands and in the sword, the piercing in his side. But once he saw those things, he didn't doubt anymore. Thomas is a great eyewitness for us 2,000 years later. And you know, Thomas wasn't the only one that didn't believe. I know he gets emphasized a lot for being doubting Thomas, but if you read in scripture, they all doubted. They all doubted. Until they all saw the risen Jesus. After Jesus appeared to all of them, they all knew that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God, who came to pay our debt, a debt that we couldn't pay, and to be raised up on the third day. And so he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. They were the eyewitnesses, and all who put their trust in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life and have access to all the blessings of our inheritance. We need to read the will. I pray that the evidence and the testimonies of each eyewitness strengthen each and every one of you, and that they serve as an anchor for your soul in these challenging times. Now, Jesus said, he said, "Come to me, all who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me. What do you need? Do you need rest? Do you need healing?" He says, "Come to me." Jesus is our anchor. He has everything we need. He's alive, church. He's risen from the grave. And with that, we can all shout, "Hallelujah." This is the day that he has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So we're going to close in prayer. We have a couple of prayer requests that I want to bring out. So I just would ask you to join with me in prayer. If you're connected by computer, raise your hands toward the computer. Just agree with me in prayer. If you're calling on the phone line, I just ask you, raise your hands and agree in prayer. So I say, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance of knowing that your word is true. Thank you for the eyewitness accounts of those who saw and talked with you, talk with your son after you raised him from the dead. Help us to share our faith with others during these challenging times, to bring hope, to bring peace to troubled hearts, to see your kingdom advanced as many during this time seek to know you and to know the truth. Father, draw them by your spirit. We lift those up who are sick and we release your healing power to heal their bodies, Lord. We lift up the doctors and the nurses, those first responders who are at their posts serving others day in, day out. Protect them, shield them, and strengthen them, Lord. I particularly lift up Yuritsa as she boldly ministers to the needs of the patients in the nursing home there where she works. Thank you for protecting and strengthening her. I lift up Pat Witcher to you, Lord, as she delivers medicines to the elderly. Thank you for your divine protection over her and anyone else in our church family that ministers to the elderly. Lord, I lift up Ron Heisler. I lift up Barry's brother as he goes into surgery again on Wednesday. Guide the hands of the doctors, Lord, as they perform surgery on his liver. I call that cancer a curse, and I declare Ron is redeemed from the curse. Father, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those words come out of Ron's mouth. Let Ron declare that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed. We command that cancer to leave his body, and I speak life to every organ and cell in his body in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the covenant, Psalm 91 protection over our entire church body and their families. Thank you, Father, for a risen King. We thank you for your perfect plan of salvation. Our debt has been paid. It's finished. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you protect and you guide our president. We thank you, Father, for those in the medical field, Lord, that can give us direction, Lord God. We comply, Lord. We do comply. But Lord, we know that your word stands above all. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you for going to that cross for us. Today's a day of victory. And every Bible-believing Christian everywhere across this land should be shouting hallelujah today. We do that today, Father. We shout hallelujah to you, Jesus. Thank you for the victory. It's in your name that we give this prayer. Amen. Amen.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Some from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, yeah, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. For the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. For the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now. Sorry, eyes high and lifted up, and lifted up. You are Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.